So it's almost midday and the preacher's just about to start and everyone's going, yay! I'll try and keep it nice and short. Wasn't it fantastic though to hear those four stories and to see the four of them get baptised? Wasn't that wonderful earlier on? Wasn't it?
Yes.
But what have they actually done? What was that actually about? What does it mean to go into a little swimming pool and get dunked under the water? What is that all about? In the Bible, in the book of Romans, in the New Testament, it describes it like this. All of us became part of Christ when we were baptized. We shared his death in our baptism. When we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and shared his death. So, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. Ethan and Vicky and Lauren and Kelly are all living a new life. That's what we've been celebrating this morning. And I'm just going to take a few minutes to try and explain what that means. It's not a very cool thing to say, but I'm quite keen on playing computer games. It's something I've loved for years and years. And long before the internet was a thing, I used to get together with a group of friends. And we would all bring our own computer to a friend's house to play computer games. And I don't mean laptops. In those days, you needed a second mortgage to get a laptop. So we would all turn up with a desktop box and a keyboard and a set of speakers and a mouse and a mouse mat. And this is back in the days. Some of you youngsters won't remember this. This is back in the days when monitors were three-dimensional things that were instant hernia as soon as you lifted them up. You could tell a really keen gamer because they walked like this. And we used to do that. We used to get together and we'd spend a couple of hours setting these computers up in a friend's house. And a couple of hours later, we would say, we've got four computers talking to each other. We are living the 21st century, folks. And then we'd spend the rest of the night playing Doom or some other game like that, which a few of you can probably remember. And I absolutely loved it. And actually, that love of computer games has never gone away. And I love to immerse myself in the world of a computer game. I don't lose touch with reality. If Astrid wants me to come down for a meal or something like that, she only needs to call me 15 or 20 times and I'm there. But I do love to immerse myself into the world of a game. And the best thing about the world of computer games is that you cannot mess up. I mean, you kind of can mess up. I do it all the time. I might be playing a game and I'll be running around happily and I'll charge through a door and suddenly I'm in a room with an enormous monster with very large teeth, or I'll run through a door and there's a whole pile of bad guys with bazookas. But I don't panic. I don't worry at all. I just press F9. Because F9 reloads the game from the last time I saved it. It takes me back to before I made my last mistake. It stops me, or takes me back to before I fell off that cliff. It takes me back to before I annoyed the bad guy with the really large gun. Every time I mess up, I just press F9. And so in my game world, I never really mess up. Every mistake, every bad decision, every time I do something utterly stupid, it gets wiped away at the press of a button. They need to install that as an upgrade for life, don't they? How many times a week do we get to the end of a day and think, now I just want to reload that one and play it again? Have you ever been there? Every time we lose our rag and say something that we know we shouldn't have said. Every time we have a conversation that we wish we could rewind and have another go at that conversation. Every mistake we make. All the times that we know we're about to do the wrong thing, and then we go ahead and we do it anyway. How many times a day would we press F9 if we could? But we can't. And so instead, what we do is we carry the guilt of those wrong things that we've done. It's like a weight that we carry. And some of us, quite frankly, we're hardly aware of it. Doesn't mean it's not there, we're just not very aware of it. Others of us, it's like a physical burden that we carry through life. Jesus, the Son of God, was the only human being who has ever lived a life and done absolutely no wrong. And on that first Good Friday, they executed him by nailing him to a cross. But that verse I read a few moments ago, if you remember it, it says that anyone who has become a part of Christ, that just means anyone that's chosen to follow Jesus, anyone who's become a part of Christ shares in his death. And that means that we died, sort of, when he died. But it also means that that weight that we carry around with us, that died that day. That died when Jesus died on the cross. All the guilt, all the shame for everything we have ever done wrong, that all died with him. And 2 days later, on Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead, and those things were gone completely forever. In other words, new life means being offered complete forgiveness. God washing us completely clean. And heaven knows I don't deserve that. I really don't. But he does it anyway. He does it anyway. And that's what he's done for Ethan and for Vicky and for Lauren and for Kelly. And that's the start of new life. That's the start of new life. But it's not the whole of it. It doesn't stop there. I'd like to tell you a story. It's a true story. It happened in the 1980s in America. A chap called Larry Walters, he made it into the national and the international news. He lived near the airport in Los Angeles. And at weekends, he would do nothing but sitting in his back garden. He'd get a lawn chair out in his back garden, and he'd sit back and he'd watch the planes going over to and from LA airport. And he'd sit there and he'd get bored. Nothing to do but to sit and watch planes going by. And after doing this for a long, long time, he got so bored that he did what any of us would do. He went out and bought 45 really large weather balloons and a huge amount of helium. And he tied 45 large weather balloons full of helium to his garden chair. And his plan was, he tied the chair to the ground. His plan was he was going to get a friend to cut the rope tying the chair to the ground, and he was going to float up gently to about 100 feet or so above the ground, where he'd have a nice view of the neighbourhood, and he'd be able to watch the planes from just a little bit closer. So he made himself a sandwich, and he got a flask or a couple of cans or something, and he sat down in his lawn chair, and he asked his friend to cut the rope that attached it to the ground. Larry didn't float up to 100 feet. He shot up like a rocket to 16,000 feet above the city. That's about 3 miles in the air. He'd taken with him, his safety plan was that he took a BB gun, that's like a pellet gun, and if he got up too far, he was going to shoot out a couple of balloons. He couldn't use the BB gun because he was hanging onto the chair for dear life. And so he found himself floating 3 miles above the city in a deck chair in the flight path for LAX airport with aircraft coming in reporting on the radio that they'd just passed a man in a garden chair. Absolutely true story. Look it up when you get home. Eventually, after floating up there for quite some time, he managed to summon up the courage to take the BB gun and shoot out one or two of the balloons. And he did eventually float back down to the ground, actually catching on some electric cables and fusing out a whole load of their grid on his way down. When he landed, he was arrested, as you'd imagine. They said, "We haven't worked out what laws he's broken, but we know he's broken something." And then a reporter asked him why he did it. And I love his answer. He said, "A man can't just sit around." When Jesus came to earth, he had the most incredible sense of purpose. He said, that he'd come to bring healing to the sick. He said that he'd come to stand up for those who are downtrodden and mistreated. He said that he'd come to announce good news for the poor people who only ever seem to get bad news, and to tell the entire world about a God who loves them. And then he called a whole group of people and he said, "You guys, don't just sit around. Come and be a part of what I'm doing. Come and join in with what God is doing, here on earth." And that is what a Christian is. That's what new life is. It starts with forgiveness and being washed clean, but it continues as life lived to the full, full of the presence and the purpose of God. The new life that Jesus gives us is a life that makes a difference in the world around us. Can I tell you my pet peeve? I know I've only got a couple of minutes, but here's my pet peeve. It's when people describe Christians as people that go to church. I really dislike that, people that go to church. That's like describing doctors as people that read medical journals, or describing soldiers as people that shine their boots really shiny. It misses the entire point. What a Christian is called to be is someone who reaches out with the love and the power of God to those who are sick and suffering and in need of comfort. What a Christian is called to be is someone who stands with the oppressed and the marginalized. What a Christian's called to be is someone who spends themselves on behalf of the poor. Someone whose life and words make it easier for the rest of the world to believe in a God who's alive and who loves them. Oh yeah, and we also get together on a Sunday to worship God because he's fantastic. But that's what a Christian is. That's what new life is. And that's what Vicky and Ethan and Lauren and Kelly have signed up for and celebrated in getting baptized this morning. A new cleanness because they've experienced God's total forgiveness, unlimited forgiveness because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And a new purpose because Jesus says you can't just sit around. Get stuck in to what God is doing on earth around you. So there might be some of you who have got that new life, but you've never celebrated it yet by getting baptized. We'd love it if you'd come and have a chat with one of us afterwards. We'd love you to put that right. We'd love to help you. It may be that you haven't yet discovered that new life for yourself. And there is no better day than Easter Day. There is no better day than the day that we celebrate Jesus being raised from the dead. And if that's something you'd like to find out more about, then please don't go home wondering. Come and have a chat with one of us, because the offer is there, unlimited forgiveness and a brand new purpose, new life. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for new life. Thank you for the four people that have celebrated that this morning and for their individual stories that show just how alive and loving and wonderful you are. Thank you for the forgiveness that there is for each of us, because Jesus took all our mess and baggage away when he died on the cross. And thank you that that offer is there for every single one of us because of what Jesus has done. And thank you that the life to the full that you offer is a life that calls us to go out and make a difference. And that you empower us, you give us the ability to do that. Thank you for the wonderful offer of new life at Easter time. Amen.